Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
好的，师傅。
我要对。So today's SGC will be a bit different. Today is supposed to be the Dharma Day. Celebration in the Buddhist library, but owing to the current COVID situation, so we were given a choice whether to have it in person or online. But after some consideration, decided that we should do it online, for everybody's safety's sake. So today's topic, but the Buddhist library actually left it up to me. So we decided to switch the topic for today. So today's topic is on the 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths. So this came about because of the testy class during one of the rereading. In the commentary, it mentioned about 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths. And initially, I thought, is it the 12 aspects? Because when I read the Pali Canon, I only heard of the 12 aspects. I never heard of 16 aspects. So I was like, did I remember wrongly? Then one of the students, Jolene, sent me a private message after class, listing out some of them. Then I was like, maybe I remember wrongly. So after that, I had a discussion with my Dharma brother during the translation. And then after that, I went to search and then found the 16 aspects. But I also found something else. Which is that the 16 aspects indeed doesn't appear in the Pali Canon. That's why I cannot remember. It only appear in the commentary. So the version I list out today is in the Abhidhamma Kosa. Abhidhamma Da Naga Jisa Lun. So it's one of the commentary. But I also decided I want to share with the 12 aspects as well. Because if we share 16 aspects, then surely we must share the 12 aspects now, because 12 aspects is spoken by the Buddha. But it doesn't mean that the 16 aspects is not taught by the Buddha. While some of the text is not presented specifically in that order by the Buddha, but the source of these teachings are still from the Buddha himself. So you can find that most of, if not all the commentaries, would have some reference to the various teachings that is found in the suttas. Without further ado, I shall now share the screen. So I hope you all can see it. So is it big enough? Okay lah. Usually I just have a white screen and then I start writing. But today a lot of terms. So I decided just list them out. You all can have a good time reading. A lot of students always ask me, Sifu, can you give us the notes? Can you give us notes? Singaporeans are very studious, you know. We are very well trained by the Singapore educational system. We always ask for notes. But the trouble with giving out notes is, you know, in school, right? When a teacher give out notes, then the students don't attend class anymore. So last time in university, some lecturers actually gave us notes, but the notes have missing words. The lecturers also smart. So they give you the full notes, but some paragraph are missing. some words, keywords are missing. So during the lecture, he will write in the missing words. Yeah. So in this case, I never redact anything. So everything is there. Yeah, up to you, okay? Because yeah, cultivation is your choice. Yeah. So as I mentioned, the 16 aspects, actually there are two sources I found. Oh, so one is the Abhidhamma Kosa. Yeah, Abhidhamma Kosa. The other one is Da Pipo Sa Lun. Let me double check. Yeah, Da Pipo Sa Lun. So these are the two sources I found. I believe these are not the only two places that you can find this text. Oh, but important thing is that the content itself. Oh, so in the Abhidhamma Kosa, is found in the volume 26 or fascicle 26. Now Chinese is Zhuan, Zhuan E Shi Liu. Then for the 12 aspects, yeah, 12 aspects is found in Samyutta Nikaya 56.11. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, I see all of you very busy copying notes. Huh? Oh, right. So I shall now stop share. Then you all cannot copy anymore. Then you all must pay attention. Then I shall share another text. So the Pali text, yeah, where the 12 aspects come from, is none other than the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Oh, let me show you all. So this is the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. I decided to include this also because this is befitting, right? Yeah, because Dhamma Day is usually conducted like 3 months. From what I remember, it's supposed to commemorate the first turning of the Wheel of Truth. Yeah. Oh, so having this sutta is just nice. And it is said to be 3 months after the Buddha's attainment of enlightenment at Saranath, where he gave the teachings to the five ascetics, who were the five companions to the Buddha when he was practicing extreme asceticism. Yeah. Let me see. So the part where is the 12, mention of the 12, right? Yeah, it's over here. So let me see. This one is from here. I actually look at two sources. One is by Venerable Nyanamoli. Yeah, Venerable Nyanamoli Thera. Then the other one is by Thanissaro Bhikkhu. The choice of words is slightly different in the two sites. Let me see, the 12. Okay, so over here, as long as my knowing and seeing how things are was not quite purified in these 12 aspects, in these three phases of each of the four noble truths. So this is directly from what the Buddha said. Yeah. Not that the Buddha teach in different areas, then someone go and collate it. Commentaries will sometimes come out in groups of teachings based on what the Buddha has taught in different places, and then they compile them together in a way that makes sense. Okay, but in this case, this is actually summarized by the Buddha. Oh. So what are these 12 aspects? It's actually before this. Yeah. So the main text is actually here. Yeah. So you have the first noble truth, yeah, and then second noble truth, which is the origin, the third noble truth, cessation, and the fourth noble truth, the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Yeah. So far so good. This is just the four noble truth. Yeah. So for each of the aspects, there are three parts. the first of each of the four is basically making this statement, yeah, that this is the truth, yeah, the truth of this. The I prefer to use the word enlightened, or instead of noble, yeah. During translation, we realize that sometimes the word Arya really just means noble, yeah. But sometimes the word Arya seem to mean more than noble. Because noble, a lot of things are noble, ma. Yeah. But noble things may not be enlightened. Enlightened things is definitely noble. Yeah. So they overlap a bit, yeah. So I, in the case of the truths, I prefer to use the word enlightened. Yeah. Yeah, because these are not ordinary truths, yeah, and this is not merely noble. These are truths are not merely noble. They are enlightened, yeah. That enlightened ones realize, and if you can, you can attain them, you can realize them, you can also become enlightened, yeah. And once you're enlightened, you're definitely noble. Oh. So the first part is for all four is basically stating. Yeah, knowing that these four truths, what they are. Okay, so this is the first enlightened truth of suffering. This is the first, this is the second enlightened truth of origin of suffering. Yeah, Venerable Thanissaro Bhikkhu used the word origination. Then the third is the cessation of suffering, and the fourth is the path or the way leading to the cessation of suffering. So then there's two more parts for each of them, yeah. And the second part is basically that the enlightened truth of suffering can be comprehended, yeah. Venerable Nyanamoli used the word diagnose, quite interesting, yeah. The other translators use comprehended. So it can be comprehended, or it is to be comprehended. It can be diagnosed. Yeah, that means diagnose is an interesting word. Yeah, it gives a bit more depth to it. So it's not merely knowing that you really know it thoroughly. You can really break it up and know its components. Oh. So in a way, comprehend. Sort of also has the same meaning, but a very deep comprehension. Yeah. So it means it's not that this truth cannot be comprehended. It's not that this truth, you cannot examine it. It can be examined, it can be diagnosed, you can really know it thoroughly. But just because it can be, that is to be, doesn't mean you have understood it. We only know what the Buddha understood. We only know what all the teachers know. But we ourselves haven't gone and examined it yet. We ourselves haven't thoroughly comprehended it yet. Yeah. But for the Buddha, he reached the last stage, which is that this suffering as a noble truth has been diagnosed. Yeah, or has been comprehended. Yeah. So for those who are fully enlightened, they know clearly that the enlightened truth of suffering has been comprehended. That means they know clearly what suffering is. And when they see suffering, they know this is suffering. Yeah. In the Chinese text, the description is ku ji shi ku. Yeah, to know suffering as suffering. For us, do we know suffering as suffering? We know, sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. Some parts we know, some parts we don't know. Yeah. Experiences that is painful, unpleasant, we think it's suffering, yeah. But if it's pleasant, then we don't know it's suffering, yeah. If the experience is pleasant to us, then we don't know that it's suffering. No? Attachment, do we know that it's suffering? Do we know that attachment is suffering? We don't know it's suffering. Yeah, as long as the object of our attachment is in our favor, we don't know it's suffering. We feel that it's good. That's why we cling on to it. That's why we are attached to it. Yeah. So until such time where we truly know suffering as suffering, then the third part of it hasn't been done. So the Buddha says for him, he has fully comprehended, has diagnosed the first noble truth or enlightened truth of suffering. Yeah. Then he moved on to the second one. Second one, as mentioned, the first part is the same. To know that what is the origin of suffering. Yeah. So sometimes we use the word cause. Here the word is origin. In Chinese is Ji. Yeah. So later we will look at the 16 aspect, which actually give a deeper dimension. So then we have Venerable Thanissaro Bhikkhu, he used the word origination. Yeah. So how does suffering arise? Yeah. When we say cause, sometimes it can create, we can also create a wrong understanding. Yeah. That because when we say cause, then it's like only this thing is involved. Yeah. But actually, there are many things coming together, then suffering arises. Yeah. But what the Buddha has highlighted is basically how suffering arises, not just one thing or another. And that's why sometimes when you look at the text, some schools focus on defilements. Some schools, in the Pali Canon, they focus on craving and clinging, right? If you look at the entirety of the teachings, then the Buddha was focusing on how suffering arises, yeah, the origination itself, yeah. So then the second and third part for the cause or origin of suffering is to know that what this cause or origin of suffering can be abandoned, is to be abandoned. Yeah. Do you sometimes feel like, even though we learn the Dharma, and then we feel like, aiyah, no hope lah, cannot be done one lah. Yeah, lah, I'm ignorant lah, I'm stupid lah. But cannot be helped lah, I'm like that lah. Yeah. So, Buddha tell us, he has seen, it can be abandoned. Yeah, and if you want to attain enlightenment, it is to be abandoned. As long as the origin of suffering, the cause of suffering is not abandoned, then suffering cannot be removed. Yeah. And the third phase of it is that the Buddha, having attained enlightenment, has this vision, has this knowledge, he knows clearly that the origination, the cause of suffering for him, has been abandoned. That's how you know that you are enlightened. When you know it, you have abandoned it. So it also means that when you examine yourself and you think, sometimes when we learn Dharma, learn halfway, then we may feel like, I think maybe I'm enlightened, Because you feel like, whatever Sufu asks all the questions, I know as well, Then you attend this Dharma talk, you attend that Dharma talk. All this I already know, lah. Then maybe you may start to feel like, maybe even if I'm not enlightened, I'm quite close. Yeah. Maybe I'm quite enlightened already. Who knows? Yeah. And maybe I can stop attending Dharma talk. This over here, always talking about the same thing, defilement. I know already, don't have to attend. This one talk about four noble truths. I have four noble truths again. How many times do you want to talk about four noble truths? I know already, don't have to attend. Then we try to look for some new Dharma, something refreshing. This one very chim. This one I never heard of. Wow, cannot understand one. This one, I think this one is good. But here, You can use that as a check. Yeah. Are we really closer to enlightenment? Have we abandoned the cause of suffering? Yeah. Because on a day-to-day basis, as a human, I would say we are not constantly suffering, right? Not constantly suffering. Like when you are shitting in the toilet, you're not suffering. Unless you are constipated. Yeah. You're not getting what you want. You want to shit, you cannot shit. Or you lao sai, don't want to shit, it shit up. Also, also encompassed in the first noble truth, not getting what you want. Alvin and Saikam cannot control their laughter. Sifu always talking about shit. This Sifu is full of shit. Yeah, are you having this talk? Sifu always talk about shit. Yeah. How to do samsara is full of shit. hello, Caesar. Julius. Not Caesar. Julius. Yeah. Is it Julius?
Julius.
Another pronunciation, I think, is Julius. Julio. Yeah. The Latin pronunciation, the Roman Latin. your hairstyle, then you like that a bit, then wear olive leaf around, then it's like.
I'm not Olympics.
Not Olympics. Have you abandoned the cause of suffering?
I don't know what you mean.
That is a very good response. Good reply. You are very truthful. See? Small kids, sometimes they give very good replies. Yeah, because they just answer as it is. They don't try to give model answer. That's why Sifu always tell you, don't give model answer, just answer as it is. Then you can progress. See, he don't know, then he just say he don't know. If he don't know, we just say don't know. Then you can progress. So do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Oh, you want to know, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
Tell Dharma class,
So listen carefully, okay? Sifu explain. So that was the first and the second. The third noble truth or the enlightened truth is the truth of the cessation of suffering. Yeah. So what is the cessation of suffering? Yeah. It is actually the cessation of the cause of suffering. Yeah. And then as a result, cessation of suffering occurs. Yeah. So this is the first part. Second part, then it is to know that cessation of suffering can be attained, can be verified. Yeah. Venerable Tanisaro Bhikkhu's experience. So in the Chinese translation, we usually see qing zhen, yeah, or sen zuo zhen. Yeah, and there's always this word zhen, yeah, to attain, to verify, to experience. Oh, it has that connotation. So again here, Venerable Nyanamoli used can be. Yeah. Whereas Venerable Thanissara Bhikkhu used the word translate as is to be, yeah, experience. So I think putting them together, I think give a comprehensive understanding. Yeah. Because oftentimes sometimes you may hear your friend when you tell them, come, attend Dharma talk. Then they say, I attend for what? Attend. Then you can be free of suffering, right? Then they tell you, suffering will always be there one, cannot end suffering one, right? that's what Buddha replied. Buddha's own realization counters that. No, it can be verified. Yeah. The trouble is, we have been suffering for so long, we never experience end of suffering. Yeah, the true cessation of suffering. So we don't have confidence that it can be done. Okay, we don't have that confidence. But now Buddha tells us that through his own experience, he knows. Yeah, he has this vision, he has this knowledge. It can be verified. It is to be verified. If you want to be free of suffering, you must verify. Yeah. Then finally, the third part, he verified it. And then so arise this knowledge, this vision, that this noble truth or enlightened truth of the cessation of suffering has been verified. Has been verified. That means you verify that, indeed, no more suffering. Yeah. Have you reached this state? No. Haven't. So still have to have class. So one day I hope before I die, I hope one of you will text me, Sifu. Then you text me this whole paragraph. Don't have to write yourself, just copy and paste. Yeah. But make sure you have done everything, then you copy and paste. Don't just accidentally copy and paste. Then after, Sifu, actually part three, haven't done yet. Then part seven also cannot. Then this, actually second half all cannot. don't let me be happy for nothing, okay? So the last part, the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Yeah, so that part, this part is quite clear. Yeah, this is the Noble Eightfold Path, right? Yeah, so to know that, so sometimes when we learn a lot of Dharma already, we attend a lot of Dharma classes, right? Then we forget what it really means. You know, we learn Four Noble Truths, memorize, we attend so many Dharma talks. Sometimes maybe the Venerable miss out something. I say, Venerable, you miss out something. we know it so well, you know. But sometimes when we know it so well, then we miss out what it really means. You know, for example, we know Noble Eightfold Path. But do we truly internalize it? When we look at right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, do we see this eightfold path truly as the way to cease suffering? We don't. Do we? When we attend Dharma class, we do. Yeah. When Sifu asks a question, maybe we do. Sometimes when Sifu asks question like yesterday, the moment I ask question, do you all know the three universal characteristics? Oh, what three universal characteristics? Mental block. Yeah, like going for oral test. Yeah, normally, wah, know how to talk. Then suddenly during the oral exam, the oral examiner asks, good afternoon, Alvin. How are you today? I'm Alvin. Suddenly kanchong. Yeah, okay, Sai Kiang. So, what do you eat this morning? I use English. Today is English oral exam. I don't know. Kanchong. Then kanchong, then anyhow, I'll talk already. Yeah. So, normally we know. Yeah. But here, when we read this text, we may feel like, this is nothing new. But actually, when you really look at it, it's actually very crucial, you know. The way leading to cessation of suffering as a noble truth is this. The English is appears a bit odd, because Venerable Nyanamoli tries to translate as per the Pali text. The Pali text grammar is a bit different from English. So in other words, the proper English would be that this is the way leading to cessation of suffering. Yeah, this is the noble truth, the enlightened truth of the way leading to cessation of suffering. Yeah, and what is it? The Noble Eightfold Path or the Enlightened Eightfold Path. Yeah, to really see that the Eightfold Path truly lead to cessation of suffering. Not just an idea, but to see that right view points towards the truth. And from right view, arising right intent, This intent will lead us surely towards cessation of suffering. And with these two as a foundation, as a basis, then right speech, right action, right livelihood would be the right course of bodily and verbal actions, yeah, or verbal and bodily actions. And with this as a basis, then we can live in relative ease. And from there, as a basis, we develop our mental faculty, yeah, using right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. And guided by right view, these practices points us towards the reality of our existence. And in this way, we are able to verify what was attained by the Buddha. We are able to verify that right view is indeed right view. Right intent is indeed right intent. Right speech is indeed right speech. Like we learn, right? We learn all this, right view is right view and so on. But actually, we don't really know. We are just borrowing what the Buddha realized, ma. Yeah? And then we try out. And one day when we really attain enlightenment, then we verify and we know this is indeed the case. Yeah. We verify and we know that when we do all this, you indeed become free of suffering. Oh. So to know, 道即是道. Oh. I don't know whether you feel the gravity of it. So 道即是道. So this is the first part. Then second part, to know that this path, this way, can be developed, is to be developed. Yeah. Again, similarly, while there are some who say, "Aiya, cannot be free of suffering, one." Then there are those who say, "Aiya, you meditate so much. You think meditation works?" So unless you go and meditate, unless you go and try it out, unless you go and practice, when people question you and challenge you, then you may start to waver. You may start to feel, maybe cannot. Yeah. So, but for the Buddha, this vision arise, yeah, this knowledge arise. And for him, even the last part, he knows clearly that it has been developed, that he has developed the way to the cessation of suffering. How does he know? Because he has attained to the cessation of suffering. That's how he knows. Somebody, right, is comprehending the same as penetrative insight. Somebody whose name is a dot. Who is it? Special person. Don't know who that is. So comprehending, is it the same as penetrative insight? Penetrative insight. Well, I guess we can say that. Yeah, I guess we can say that. Is to be comprehended. We can perhaps say that. But I hesitate to just equate them. Because if we equate them, because penetrative insight has some other connotation also. Yeah. Generally, I think in this context, it's okay to equate them. Yeah, because over here, this is someone who has attained enlightenment already. So in this context, no problem. Yeah, but when comprehending is used in other contexts, maybe not suitable. So it depends. Because here, the comprehending is like seeing to a deeper level. So not just understanding, not simply understanding. Edward asks, do the four functions come to full completion simultaneously or in a very rapid succession? Or is there a substantial gap between the full completion of each? And if their full completion happens in succession, whether rapid or not, which order would seem reasonable? My thought is fourth, first, and then second and third. Third and second. That's why there are so many commentaries, you know. Yeah. Because you will find that this kind of question don't really appear in the Pali Canon. Yeah, this Everett's question is interesting, right? Yeah. Do they happen simultaneously or after some gap in between? Yeah. I remember when I was a novice, or even after I was fully ordained in US, I remember in many classes, some of the seniors, sometimes the monks, sometimes the nuns, in the recording. First, after my teacher passed away, then we listened to all the past recordings. Yeah, when he was around, he was covering the Mahana Sangraha. Then later on, when he passed away, we continued the class on Yogacara Bodhisattva. So we listened to the tape, or rather, we watched the video. Yeah, BHS, you know. Then during Q&A, there will be one or two of them who always ask, "和尚慈悲，在then they will cite some of the very advanced commentary. Then they say, 在大毗婆沙论，在起心论，这个论那个论啊，in this commentary, in that commentary. This commentary mentioned that 暖丁人是第一 happens in 15 mental moments.But the other commentary mentioned that it happened in 16 mental moments. So is it 15 moments or 16 moments? Yeah. Everett's question reminds me of that kind of question. Yeah. Yeah. I usually like to base on the Pali Canon. In the Pali Canon, no mention of whether it's in rapid succession or not. Yeah. From what I've read so far, This part never really mentioned, yeah. But I feel that this question has other questions, you know. Everett, are there other questions behind? No other questions. So just for knowledge sake. I think, let me put on my thinking cap. I think sometimes we may have this question because we wonder. Let me speculate. Okay, let me speculate. Sometimes we have this question because we may we may find that as far as the first noble truth, it seems like I understand it. You know. So, and yeah, I seem to really thoroughly understand it already. But yet, the origin, I haven't fully understand, or I haven't fully abandoned. So, if there's a gap in between that is quite far, then my understanding can be correct, you know. But if it's supposed to be in rapid succession, then the moment I understand it, then quite quickly I should be able to abandon it. And upon abandoning it, then I should have attained enlightenment. And I should have the vision of how I did it, which is the path. And since I'm still not enlightened, if it's in rapid succession, then my understanding of the first noble truth is still not complete. Maybe we may have discussion, yeah, from this. Oh, the dot again asked a question. Who is the dot? I'm very curious. Who is the one who asked the question? Shifu, should I then adopt a hypothesis experiment attitude towards life so I can test out the theories from the Buddha? Send as a direct message. Can I know who is the one who sent this question so that I can address, because you put it as a direct message. Who is the dot? Can you turn on your webcam and change your name to something that is identifiable? Do I Don't, can you put your webcam up so others can see your face? Or please don't attend classes in an anonymous manner. Yeah, and show your full face. Yeah, learning Dharma is not a crime, so we don't have to do it in secrecy. Okay. Don't cover your face. Why? You're afraid of your friends from other faith see that you attend Dharma class, then come in after you. Don't worry. Singapore is a land of law. Nobody can come and disturb you for changing your faith. Yeah, there's freedom of choice of faith. But also have faith in your friends, lah. I think your friends are not so crazy, lah. Not so crazy to come after you for changing your faith. So anyway, so since you show your face, I shall answer you. Should I then adopt a hypothesis experiment towards attitude towards life so I can test out the theories from the Buddha? When you use the word theory, some people may misconstrue you and think that you don't think that the Buddha's teaching is the truth. But scientifically, the word theory actually is the highest order of verification. Yeah, because in the scientific world, when you say something is a theory, that means it has been verified already. Yeah, before that is a hypothesis. Yeah, so because you haven't verified yourself, so you can say you want to try it out. Using a hypothesis experiment approach, that's okay. Yeah, in fact, I've been sharing with students in classes that that's what we should do. We shouldn't reject the Buddha's teaching right off, but we shouldn't just accept it blindly also. Yeah, meaning that the process requires us to examine it, to test it out, to verify it. No? So a term I've been using recently is test drive. Yeah, test drive the teachings. Yeah, try it out. I'll try it out. Yeah. But as with all things, for example, if you are learning physics, where is Li Ying? Please leave your, are you at home? If you're at home, leave your webcam on. Don't turn off, very bit distracting. Yeah, and leave your phone stationary. Don't move around. Imagine Sifu attend Zip Talks and like that. very confusing, okay? Just leave it alone. Stop moving around. So, there was something I wanted to highlight. See lah. Something about, what was the last thing I mentioned? Something about verification. Test drive. Oh, yeah. Okay. So in the same way when we learn physics, right? There are so many theories that you can verify in physics. Yeah. On the first day of class as a physics student, do you try to go and verify Einstein's relativity, theory of relativity? If you haven't even learned what is F equals to ma, should you jump straight in and try to verify the theory of everything? Zoping, what do you think? Zoping, I purposely asked Zoping because Zoping is... are you a physicist? Can you be considered a physicist? Yes, say yes, lah. Don't be shy.
Yes.
Yes, Zoping is a physicist. So we can take his word for it. Yeah. So if you want to be a physics student, you cannot just say, firstly, I want to verify the most complicated one because you don't have the basis. So you must learn some fundamentals first. Yeah. You learn the first three laws of motion. You first learn classical Newtonian law. Yeah. Motion at rest tend to stay at rest. Motion in motion tend to stay in motion. For every force, there's an equal and opposite reaction or something. Is it?
That's the third one.
Third one. Yeah. First two?
The body at rest remains at rest, and the body in uniform motion remains in uniform motion. Then the second one is the F equals to MA.
The two is actually the first one.
I don't know. The F equals to MA is the second one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you see, you know, I want to learn physics, better go and look for physicists to learn. So after you have the foundation, then you go for the more advanced one. So in a similar way, there are so many teachings in Buddhism, in the Dharma. No? So some things that is directly verifiable. Yeah, conditioned things are impermanent. Can you verify that? You can verify. Yeah. So just start from there. Start off from there. No? Okay. So this is the part about the 16. The 12th. So far, so good. Everybody good? Yeah. So now I share the slide. Share the one on the 16. Okay. So what I've gone through is basically, hang on, let me take out my writing pad. Okay, so what we have gone through is basically, hang on, my pen is not working. Hang on, let me disconnect and connect again. No, I'm okay. Murphy's Law, the pen don't want to work. Wait, let me run the driver again. Wait, okay, open. Can. Too bad, cannot. So cannot write today. Let me try one more time. Well, cannot. Okay, never mind. So I won't write. So what I've gone through is the second column, the Four Noble Truths with three parts each, altogether 12. So now I'll go into the 16 parts. So these 16 parts is basically for each of the noble truth. Yeah. So the first four is on suffering. Yeah. And these 16 are basically 16 ways to contemplate on the four noble truths that can help us to deepen our understanding and arise insight. So very quickly. The first noble truth or the first enlightened truth of suffering. So to contemplate on how all these are anicca. So usually I say anicca, but this over here listed Sanskrit. So wu chang or fei chang, it means not permanent, impermanent. Yeah. Dai yuan er cheng gu. Yeah. So why is it impermanent? Because it requires conditions to come together. Yeah. And here basically referring to the five aggregates. Yeah. Referring to five aggregates, referring to conditioned phenomena. Yeah. So conditioned phenomena requires conditions to come together. So as a result, it's impermanent. Because why? Conditions themselves are impermanent. So far, so good. So sometimes we think, first noble truth, then list out the eight. Then what else can be done? So for each of them, you can go and contemplate how they are impermanent. And impermanent due to conditions. So, and as I mentioned in the Heart Sutra class, that which is due to conditions and is impermanent, there's something about this impermanence, which is that the change occurs due to conditions. Also, it's basically linked to this. Changes occur due to conditions, not due to our whims and fancy. If changes can occur directly because of our decisions, then there's nothing wrong with impermanence. Then impermanence doesn't lead to suffering. Think about it. If you can effect any change you want, that means you're in control. That means you are all powerful. You want to be man, you can become man. You want to be woman, you can become woman. You want to be tall, tall, tong, short, tong, fat, tong, thin, long hair, tong, short hair, tong. Yeah. Then Sai Kiang, when she go for hair for hook, yeah, she can just change her length. Yeah. After half or hope finished, long, then the person, "Walao, waste my time though. I shave half an hour shaving you, then you just snap finger, tung, the hair come out again." If you can do that, then half or hope is meaningless. Agree? Talking about which, yesterday I happened to see one of the, I think Sai Kiang shared, these few days shared the hair for hope thing. Yeah, then thanking everybody who donated. Then I was thinking, the before and after, there's a difference. How come I don't recall any monks who go and participate in hair for hope? If we participate in hair for hope before and after, not much difference. But okay, I sidetracked. I digress. So, the next one is khu, dukkha, not dukkha. And it's basically to contemplate. The first noble truth, of course, is suffering. Yeah, but here is to contemplate. Yeah, why is it suffering? It's oppressive. So do you all remember when I mentioned about how when anger arises, yeah. Sometimes we want to go and observe what is happening. When you have attachment, go and really examine what does this attachment do to us? Yeah. What does the object of our desire do for us? Yeah. And only then do you see that, it is really oppressive to us. It is causing us, our mind, to not be calm and stable, causing our mind to become agitated. Yeah. So second contemplation. Third one, kong. So interesting. So that to contemplate how the object that we contemplate as suffering is empty. Yeah. Why? So the wei wo shuo jian gu. Yeah. So number three and number four, they are linked. One is wei wo shuo jian gu. Then the third one, the fourth one is wei wo jian gu. Yeah, so these two are linked in what way? One is wo, one is wo shuo. So the self and possessions of the self. Self and possessions of self. So in a way, three and four, can be seen to be fa kong and wo kong. Fa kong and wo kong. So fa kong referring to things, and then wo kong to the self. But actually, fa kong by right should include all things. Then it should by right encompass wo kong inside. But this is another Dhamma talk altogether. Yeah. So number three is emptiness, yeah. So sunyata or sunya, emptiness of things, of phenomena. Then number four is fei wo. Interesting that they use the word, this Abhidhamma Kosa, they use fei wo, not wu wo. Fei chang, not wu chang. So the choice of words sometimes is interesting. Yeah, so it's not me. Not self, yeah, anatman. So anatman in Pali is anatta. Yeah, so atta, anatta. So to contemplate how the five aggregates, yeah, all the things that you describe in the first noble truth, that it is not mind, not self. So with that, then finish the first four contemplation on the first enlightened truth of suffering. So far, so good, everybody. So now you all cannot complain and say, Sifu, don't know how to contemplate. the masters in the past come out with detailed, different angles. So next, cause of suffering. Yeah, cause of suffering, there are four parts or so. So, ying, ji, sen, yuan. The earlier one is fei chang or wu chang, ku, kong, wo. Wu chang, ku, kong, wo is something that we keep on hearing, right? Yeah, at least my teacher always highlight wu chang, ku, kong, wo. This is found in many of the texts. Contemplate in this way. Yeah, impermanence, suffering, empty in nature, and no self. So here, second part, ying ji sen yuan. Check, is there anyone leave message? No. So the cause of suffering or origin of suffering, yeah, how to contemplate on how it is the cause. Yeah. Why? Qi li ru zhong zi. Yeah, so the relationship between the cause of suffering and suffering itself, it can be described, yeah, the principle itself is like that of the seed. Yeah, that when you have this cause of suffering, or you have craving and clinging, you have defilements, then given the right conditions, it will germinate, it will grow, and then blossom and eventually produce a fruit of suffering. So this is using the analogy of seeds. Yeah. And in this way, you can contemplate how it is like a seed, yeah, like a cause. Liying, right, sorry for disturbing. Does fei means it exists, but it is not so, while wu means it doesn't exist at all. So if you go by Chinese meaning, it seems to have that kind of connotation. But fei also has the connotation that it doesn't exist. It's not simply that it exists, but it's not so. Yeah. So for example, fei xiang, fei fei xiang. Yeah. So it's neither this nor that. Yeah. Neither perception nor non-perception. So fei wo, that means not self. So some, in fact, in the Western community, many of the translators in the West, they have chosen to translate as not self instead of no self. So when we use the term no self, wo, there's a lot of interconnected question mark. Because the idea of no self, just, you know, we cannot comprehend. Because if there's no self, no me, no self seems to mean no me, ma. But if no me, then who is asking this question? No you, then who is saying, making this statement? So it seems to be confusing. In the Western order, they say it's more appropriate or more correct to say not self. But I asked you all this question, okay? If now someone asks you, if someone now someone say there is Superman in this world, okay, then you can either agree there is Superman, or you can disagree and say there's no Superman. Agree? Yeah, either agree or disagree. Someone may say there's no Superman. Yeah, you cannot find Superman in Sifu. But someone can also say, Sifu is not Superman. Let's look at Sifu is not Superman first. Is Sifu Superman? Answer is no. Oh, no. In case you all are still wondering, Sifu is not Superman. So, but some people then ask, if you say Sifu is not Superman, then, but maybe it also means that Superman is somewhere else. Just that Sifu is not Superman. That means that it's actually Superman. Right? Similarly, when we say not self, then it may seem like, oh, this is not self, but there is a self somewhere else. Just that this is not self. Then I ask, I asked the students, I say, then let's go through the whole group. Is Suyin Superman? No. Is Danny Superman? No. Is Sakyang Superman? No. Is Xiaofang Superman? No. And if we ask every one of you, and we say, none of you can say this is Superman. All of you say this is not Superman. Then can we say that there's Superman in the Zoom meeting? Then we still have to say there's no Superman in the Zoom meeting. Yeah, correct? Then we may still say, but maybe outside of the meeting, Zoom meeting, there's Superman. Okay, you go and find, you go and find throughout the universe, at least on Earth. Let's not worry about other world first. On Earth, is there anyone who fit in with the description, the features, the power of Superman? Nope, cannot find. So we say, this is not Superman. That is not Superman. And if we can exhaustively say all of humanity doesn't fit in with the notion of Superman, then we can say there's all of these humans are not Superman, and hence, no Superman also. In fact, in one of the sutta, a similar back and forth question came about, wherein at some point the Buddha asked those who assert that there's a self. So the Buddha asked, so what is the feature of the self? Then they describe. Then the Buddha asked, but in that case, what thing in this world fit in with such a description? And they cannot answer. And when they cannot answer, the Buddha say, this is like a young man saying, going to the town, going to the market and declaring, there's a finest girl in the whole town. Yeah, and this finest girl is of this, have this kind of hair, this kind of eyes, this kind of eyelashes and so on, this kind of looks. Yeah, but when people ask him, so who is this fine, beautiful young girl? The young man say, I don't know, I cannot find. Then in that case, then it's as good as making an empty claim that there is such a beautiful girl. Yeah. And basically the beautiful girl is a parallel to what? To this idea of a self. If you declare that a self is like that, is it? But it cannot find something that fits in with it, then basically this thing don't exist. Yeah. So whether you want to call it fei or wu, I think the connotation is they are basically having the same connotation. So it's not that it exists, but it is not so, or not so much that kind of meaning. Okay. So on to the second of the second truth. Yeah. So ji. Oh, so ji tong yu xian xian li zi li. Yeah. So this part I have to go and check. So samudaya. So this part actually means that it is able to give rise, yeah, give rise and manifest, yeah, the suffering, and that's why it's called qi. Yeah, in many Chinese, many talks given by Chinese venerables, then they basically use the word qi and say it is the aggregation of the causes Yeah, and this results in the aggregation of suffering. Simply as that. So this is another way to contemplate on the cause of suffering. How all these factors, defilements are all this, cause suffering to come together. Without all this, suffering don't come together, don't come about. Simply that. The third one, sen neng ling xu qi, able to cause it to arise and arise. Arise and arise. So not just once, but time and again, arising. And the fourth, yuan neng ling cheng ban. So the so-called origin or the cause is also a supporting factor. Or it's a supporting condition. Neng ling cheng ban. It can help the arising of suffering to happen. So it's not simply just cause. Sometimes it plays the supporting factor. So in these four ways, we can contemplate on the origin of suffering, on the origin of suffering. And then the third one, mie sen di, the cessation of suffering. So we have four as well. Mie jing miao li. So Chinese text is quite interesting. Other than the fei chang fei wo, other than that, all just single character. So you can try memorizing. Wow, Sifu, every time ask us to memorize this and that. But if you can remember it, how to remember it, just contemplate frequently. When you contemplate frequently, then you naturally remember it. Don't have to purposely memorize it. So first, mie, cessation. So in what way is it cessation? So 诸蕴禁锢. So that with the with this cessation of suffering, it leads to the, it is the complete cessation of the aggregates. And that's parinibbana. That's parinibbana. So that's one aspect. So of course this part then there's a bit of question mark. Because in the Mahayana teachings, then it says that the bodhisattvas, they are they are able to do what? They are able to traverse through samsara and appear to have the aggregates like us, but not be separate from nirvana. That they are abiding in nirvana, but not separate from samsara. In the Mahayana teachings, there is such a description of the bodhisattvas. This is referring to high-level bodhisattvas, not the initial bodhisattvas. So that here, then, there's a bit of thing. So here, 诸蕴禁锢, the 诸蕴 here refers to the fact that our aggregates arise due to our craving and clinging. And it's because of craving and clinging that we suffer due to these aggregates. So, for example, when a person attained arahanthood, once you attain arahanthood, then what happened? Do you just poof, then vanish into thin air? Like let's say Zhou Ping suddenly halfway through the talk, then he realized, then poof, poof, then left with the mask, dong, drop onto the floor, then the spectacles dong, drop onto the floor, then everything else poof. Is that how it is? In the sutra, we see that both the Buddha and the Arahants, even after they attain enlightenment, they continue to so-called live like everybody else, right? In the morning, they would carry the alms bowl, then put on the robes, and prepare to enter into the city, enter into the village, enter into the town for alms. Right, they will go for alms to collect adequate food, and then consume the food, and then after that they would abide in at ease for the day. For the arahants, then and the Buddha, they may sometimes consider who is ready for the teachings. Yeah. So while all that is happening, can we see that there is the five aggregates: form, feelings, perception, mental formations, and consciousness? Or is it that there's all this disappear? Actually, still there, right? Right. There is still this. Yeah. But in the teachings, then we say, because they no longer cling on to it, and because while five aggregates and five aggregates, but their five aggregates is purified, because through the five aggregates, whatever body, speech, and mind that arises is purified, whereas ours is coupled with defilements. So then the description is that which is manifested is 界定慧解脱解脱之间. Yeah. So the purified sila, samadhi, yeah, the precepts, that means the behavior of body and speech is purified. The behavior of the mental quality is purified. Yeah, the view is purified. Yeah. So wisdom, concentration, all purified. And then there's liberation and knowledge of liberation. Oh, so that's just to explain the Nirodha part of. Yeah. Otherwise, then there seems to be a bit of conflict. Then the next one, Jing. Yeah. So third noble truth, second part, Jing. Yeah. So quietude. Yeah. Why is it called quietude? Yeah. San huo xi gu. Because the three fires are extinguished. And that's why it's considered quietude. Yeah. Considered qi mie, qi jing. Yeah. So why? Because what are these three fire to begin with? Should be quite straightforward. Basically, the three fires are greed, hatred, and delusion. So these three are like fire. The Buddha described the world is burning. Yeah. So burning with greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah. Why is it described as burning? Because when this burn, then our mind is not quiet, yeah, always agitated. Yeah. So if we learn the Dharma, learn, then we think, oh, I think I'm quite enlightened now. Then we can check with this. Yeah. Are the three fires a switch already? Yeah, has it been quietened? Has it been extinguished? Then the fourth and the fifth, the third and fourth, miao li. Yeah. So miao, the word miao is very interesting. When we do translation, when we encounter this word miao, then we're like, let's search the dictionary. Then we found marvelous. Should we use the word marvelous? I think in the end we use the word marvelous. Yeah. But let me double check. What word did we use? Miao. Because for our own text, we also created a dictionary. Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, I think we use the word marvelous. Yeah. Oh, I think some places we use marvelous, some places we use wonderful. So here, why is it called miao? Why is it called marvelous or wonderful? Zhong huan wu gu. So remember, oftentimes we talk about the thoughts and dangers. Yeah, the thoughts and dangers of this, of that, of samsara. Yeah, of the object of our clinging, our attachment. Gyokhwa, you have a little kid with you. your granddaughter. Is it granddaughter or grandson? I only see the head looks like girl's hair. I think yes, got ponytail. But hard to tell. Maybe guy also can have ponytail. little girl come and attend this Dhamma talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, 纵患无故, all the faults and dangers that is found in samsara, in suffering, yeah, don't exist. In Nirvana, this is the case. Yeah. Cessation of suffering has this feature. So again, you can compare. Yeah, your current state, is there any faults and danger? Yeah, are there any possibility of suffering arising? So fourth one, Li. 脱重灾故. Yeah, so you are free of all the problems, yeah, or zaya, the disaster. Actually, in the sutras, describe a lot of things as different kind of zaya. Yeah, so we are free. We can say we can look at the six realms as different forms of disaster. Yeah, of course, now we are in human realm. We don't think so. Yeah, actually, human realm also has a lot of disaster. There's news on the flood. Yeah, very severe flooding in China, right? Yeah, yesterday someone shared with me the video. It shows the passengers in China in the underground train where the flooding reached the waist level.